Speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
I imagine some of you are wondering why we're going to place so much emphasis on gambling. And the reason is because this is a topic that is very interesting, at least to several people, because several different ones ask that I deal with the topic of gambling in the question and answer lessons that we've been preaching on Sunday evening. Gambling is such a very prevalent sport today that's being participated in by so many people that I think it does deserve some attention. I want to begin by pointing out that many of the questions seem to relate to morality. That is, issues of right versus wrong. You know, I want to know, do I need to do this? Can I do this? Is it permissible for me to do this? Or should I not? Also, many areas are recently changed in society. I don't know if you've thought about it or not, but when I was growing up as a young boy, if you mentioned the idea of homosexuality, you would have thought that that person was really bad. That was a real grievous sin, but yet today society seems to approve of it as if it's okay. I can remember when abortion was illegal, the thought of a mother murdering her baby was just beyond comprehension. Or I can remember when the thoughts of gambling was considered to be those people who were unable to control their emotions and their habits, and they would go to the back rooms and to the places where they would gamble away their money, but it certainly was not something that was prevalent in society. But today, things have changed. And so the questions that have been asked are, number one, is it a sin to gamble? Number two, what about raffles? Number three, isn't all of life a gamble? Those questions that have been asked, and some of them even were asked in a little bit different way, but all of them relate to the fact of what occurs in our society today. And is it right or is it wrong? And what does the Bible say about the subject? So what I want to do tonight is really only going to have 2 points. The first one is going to be definitions and distinctions. We need to understand what is we're discussing, and we need to know what the Bible is going to say on the subject. And then finally, I want to talk about disgrace and destruction. Some people do not realize how sinful sin really is. When Paul was writing the book of Romans, and he was explaining in Romans chapter 7 about the Old Testament law and what purpose it had, he said, so that sin might become exceedingly sinful. The Old Testament law was given so people could see sin to be what it really is. And the Bible says in Ephesians 5 and verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. So it is our job to expose sin as being sin. The Wikipedia gives the definition of gambling as the wagering of money or something of material value on an event with an uncertain outcome, with the primary intent of winning additional money and or material goods. I think that's a very good workable definition. There are a number of different definitions that have been given, but I believe that one encompasses what we're going to talk about. Gambling may take many forms and may range from small items that you might gamble on, for instance, at a county fair, to very vast sums of money. I know there are people who go to the casinos and will gamble $1 million on a hand of cards. It may be state-sponsored, as in the case of Tennessee, having the Tennessee Lottery. Or it might be a betting pool of people at work betting on who wins the Super Bowl. You see, there's a wide range of things that are discussed. And so for just a minute or two, let me just mention some different forms of gambling that exist in our society today. You can go to Las Vegas, Nevada. You can go to Atlantic City, New Jersey. You can go to Tunica, Mississippi, and a number of other places, and you'll find casinos with roulette wheels, dice, slot machines, blackjack, and a number of other different means for a person to be able to gamble. You can go to almost all of the 50 states, not all of them, but almost all of them, and now there's a state-sponsored lottery. There's another thing that's called bingo. Now, you say, well, we used to play bingo as kids. Yes, but you played it for the fun of the game. But these people play it to win money. And I noticed in North Alabama when I was there just a few weeks ago, as I was traveling, there's these big warehouses now that have big signs on them. Bingo, bingo. And people are flooding there and crowding in. And the state attorney general was trying to shut them down because they were gambling places. Raffles. Raffles are where people will, for instance, buy a ticket to win maybe a new car. Maybe to win a luxury vacation somewhere. And in buying a chance or buying a ticket, what they're doing is they're pooling their money just like buying a lottery ticket. Then there's what's known as parimutuel betting or parimutuel gambling. That's generally what happens with horse races or dog races that may occur, for instance, in West Memphis, Arkansas, where people will go and they will pool monies together in wagering pools, and they'll wager, I'm betting that this horse or this dog will come in first or second or third, and they will wager their money in that way. I will tell you that the state of Tennessee, you can read at the Secretary of State's website all of Tennessee's laws regarding gambling in our state. It will outline for you, for instance, what is legal and what is illegal. And much of what occurs in our state now is, according to what you read there, illegal. And yet it occurs sometimes anyway. There are things that involve a certain outcome, an uncertain outcome, that are not considered gambling. Some of these we can find recorded in the Bible. For instance, a farmer may plant his crops not knowing whether the year will be a good year or a bad year. And yet it is not pictured in the Bible as gambling because the Bible speaks about, since God destroyed the world with a flood, He said, there will not cease to be seed time and harvest. In fact, Jesus in His parables in Matthew 13 said a sower went forth to sow, and there was the emphasis on a person who sows and the fact that he will reap seed. Investment into a business. In fact, in the Bible, quite often Jesus would speak about a person who would entrust money to someone else. For instance, the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. Jesus talks about this businessman going into a far country and he leaves with his servants various amounts of money for them to invest, to use, and even the one talent man was told that he could have taken what he had and put it with the bankers. Let them invest it. Let them use it. The random selection of a person, like flipping of a coin or drawing of straws, as nothing is wagered. Who goes first? I don't know. Let's flip a coin and find out. Which one of us are going to do the work this week? Well, unless there's five of us, whoever draws a short straw, they're going to be the one who does it. There's nothing wagered there. So those things are not considered gambling. Those things are not in the same category as the ones we have discussed previously. But then the question that is implied in many of them, but does not the Bible speak about the casting of lots? In fact, Brother Kelly Faxon just a few moments ago read for us with regards to our Lord that for His garments they cast lots. Let's look at the Bible and see And you find that they were casting lots, but for a different purpose than many people would think of that today. For instance, let's go to Leviticus 16 and verse 8. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. That's like the flipping of a coin. You have two goats there that have been brought. Which one of the goats are going to be sacrificed? Which one of the goats are going to become the scapegoat that's going to be sent out? You've got to cast lots for that. Joshua chapter 18 and verse 10. When it come time for Joshua to give the various portions of land that had been allotted, then Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord. And there Joshua divided the land to the children of Israel according to their divisions. Here you've got people and you've got them to settle a piece of the land. How are you going to decide? How are you going to be fair? They cast lots. With regards to the duties that they had. In 1 Chronicles chapter 25 and verse 8, and they cast lots for their duty. The small as well as the great, the teacher as well as the student. That was talking about the Levites, particularly the singers in this context, about the various jobs that they would carry out in the temple of the Lord. So what I'm understanding here is that the casting of lots is not a means here to gamble, to try to wager in and get something for free or to get something for little to nothing, but was used for a decision-making to be fair. And as I go to the Bible in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 18, casting lots causes contentions to cease and keeps the mighty apart. It's a way of being fair. It's a way of making sure that a person does not give someone an unfair advantage. And in Proverbs 16 verse 33, Solomon says, the lot is cast into the lap, but it's every decision is of the Lord. You see, they had a way of trying to decide what God would want done. But as I go a little bit further, though, someone might raise the question, you know, you say, well, what about the casting of lots? Okay, I understand that's not. But our government says that some forms of gambling are all right, and other forms are not. Let me point out at the beginning that man is not the arbiter of right and wrong or morality, but God is. Man changes. As you begin to think about some of the things that many governments have made legal, including our own, there's all sorts of sinful practices. For instance, the Bible says, look not upon the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly, at the last it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. He says, don't do that. Proverbs says, wine is a mocker and strong drinker a broiler, and whoever errs thereby is not wise. And that our government says, you can sell alcohol as long as you're 21 years old. You can drink it. Our government in 1973 illegalized a woman killing her baby through the means of abortion. Adultery is now legal. People can be unfaithful to their husband, unfaithful to their wife. Fornication is legal. You don't believe that? You try to deny renting a house to someone who's living together, and you'll find that the law will not allow you to discriminate against them. Homosexuality is legal. Going all the way to the highest offices in our land, we have people who are approving of homosexual behavior and saying, you can't discriminate on the basis of the person's sexual orientation. You see, man has tried to legislate for God, and God has already decided that. Deuteronomy 4, verse 8, Moses says, and what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are all in all this law which I set before you this day? When you look at the law that God gave the children of Israel, He says, what nation is there that has this kind of law? this kind of morality, this kind of standing up. And I'd ask that same question today. Where is the nation that will stand and honor the laws of God and respect them? Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Whenever a nation decides to do what God has said done, that's a righteous nation. When a nation exalts sin, then it is a shame and a reproach to us. I saw a quote this past week. It wasn't in regard to this, but I could not help including it because the thought of it was so correct. Elizabeth Barrett Browning wrote, "The devil's most devilish when respectable." The devil's most devilish when respectable. You put the devil in a suit, you give him some sort of credibility, some sort of credence, and that's when he can do his greatest damage. People used to look at gambling and say, "Oh, that's bad, that's wrong." And now when our governments have gotten involved in it and they've become the bookies, then all of a sudden it's gained a certain amount of respectability. Well, I'd like to talk to you a few minutes now about disgrace and destruction. I'd like for you to consider the influence and the outcome of gambling. When you start asking the questions like this, there's some passages of Scripture that should sort of mull over in your mind. In Luke chapter 7, verse 35, Jesus said, "But wisdom is justified by all her children." Wisdom is justified by all her children. You want to see wisdom? Look at the product. Look at the children that come from it. Putting it in a little bit different fashion. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 17 through 20, Jesus speaks about good fruit and good trees and bad fruit and bad trees. And he puts it like this, "Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. A bad tree bears bad fruit, and a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them." If gambling were good, then you would expect all of the outcomes of it to be good. But yet when you start looking at the outcome of gambling and what it does to people, you will find that its influence has been bad. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33 says, "Evil companionship or evil company corrupts good habits." You look at the things that are associated with gambling. You look at the people that are involved in gambling, and you will find a totally different group of people. In Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21, Paul said, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." There's many like things in this category. Gambling violates a number of biblical principles. Just think with me as you start thinking about what is involved in gambling. Gambling involves encouraging greed and covetousness. And if you just were to stop at that one point and say, let me just explore all the passages that talks about greed, all the passages that talks about covetousness, that alone by itself should make it clear that this is wrong. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, Paul says, "The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed through the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Their greed is what motivates them. I was speaking with one of the members just before services, and he spoke about one of the attractions that people have is immediately in their eyes they see $200 million, $300 million. They say, oh, if I could just win that amount of money. What is it that motivates people? That they want that money, the greed that's a part of that. It's a waste of possessions that have been entrusted to us by God. God has not given us everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it. Everything here belongs to God. I'm just a steward of what God has given me. I can't just be frivolous and waste it. I can't just go and throw it around because God is going to hold me accountable for what I do with what I have. For me to take that which God has put under my care and just be frivolous with it, wasteful with it, is wrong. It undermines our dependence upon God. It says, get yourself all kinds of wealth, get yourself all kinds of possessions, and once you've got that, you won't need to be dependent upon anyone. The rich man learned that he can tear down his barns, he can build bigger barns, and then God will say, fool, whose will those things be that you have prepared? This night, your soul will be required of you. When you start looking at the greed that creates a lack of dependence upon God, it destroys a positive work ethic. I know in our society today, people don't like the word work. They don't like the idea that you go out and you labor and you give a day's work for a day's pay. When Paul wrote the Thessalonians, he says, if a man will not work, neither let him eat. He goes on in 2 Thessalonians and describes people who are not working at all, and he calls them disorderly. They become busybodies. And he says, I want you to withdraw from yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 and 14. It's highly addictive. One of the things that you will notice if you go to Tennessee's website is the fact that they're now offering help for those people who are addicted. And the reason why is they know that there's a large portion of people who start buying those lottery tickets who will soon find themselves going back over and over again. Oh, I didn't win this time, but I'll win the next time. Didn't win this time, but I'll win the next time. Tried to think about how to put this. Shocking statistics, but I really wanted to say gambling is stupid. It really is. Just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. George Bernard Shaw wrote, in gambling, the many must lose in order that the few may win. You think about that for just a second. The many must lose that a few may win. If you go to the Tennessee website, and I did on April the 29th, that's Thursday, the odds of winning the Tennessee Mega Millions jackpot is 1 in 175,711,536. That's your odds of winning. You go a little bit further down the side and it says the odds of winning the Powerball jackpot is 1 in 195,249,054. Those numbers are so big that it's just difficult for me to imagine that. So what you've got to do, you've got to compare it. You've got to have some frame of reference. Your likelihood of dying in a car crash is 1 in 6,000. The likelihood of dying. The likelihood of dying in a plane crash is 1 in 500,000. The likelihood of being eaten by a shark if you go into the ocean is 1 in 1 million. The likelihood of being struck by lightning is 1 in 280,000. The likelihood of being struck twice by lightning is 9 million to 1. You've got to remember now, winning those 175 million, the only thing I can conclude is if you were driving to get on an airplane and you had a wreck, then you got on the airplane and the plane crashed because it was struck by lightning and you got struck by lightning on the way down and you fell in the ocean and the shark ate you, you might could win the lottery. I hope you see how ridiculous that is. I hope you see that this just really doesn't make very good sense. It's not the way God intended for man to progress in life. But I want you to think about some things that gambling destroys. It does some severe damage. It destroys the desire to succeed by productive labor. People have gotten the idea that I can get something for nothing or something for very little. And the only way for our society to proceed and do well in God's eyes is for us to work and work together. Let every man labor and toil with his hands. Read the book of Ecclesiastes. The wisdom of Solomon is there. It destroys the morals of our youth. People today do not understand why churches and gospel preachers and religious people oppose the theory of evolution. And because people believe in this theory, they come away with an idea that I'm nothing more than an animal. And they start acting like animals. The theory of evolution has some destructive elements to it. Some people don't understand how that the promotion of gambling for education is so illogical. What are we telling our youth? Are we telling them that whatever you need to do to get this, the end justifies the means? Will we start saying that, well, if we our country needs money, so let's just go and conquer another nation and take what's theirs? If the end justifies the means. Then what does that say? Here comes a person and they say, you know what, I think I need a new car. So I'm going to go to my neighbor and I'm going to steal what is his. And I'm going to bring it to myself and I'm going to use it because I need this. I want this. We've not had just a few years of a lottery, but I predict that the influence of this is going to be a part of the destruction of the morals of another generation. It destroys the moral authority of our government. When our government is the greatest is when it stands in accordance with the laws of God. Our government does not have any moral authority when it defies the laws of God. And it destroys the soul. In Proverbs 1 and verse 19, Solomon says, "So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes the way of life of its owners." Here's a man who's got to have greed. It takes away from him. To put that with Matthew 16, verse 26, "For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" You've seen the television shows or the movies. Here comes the devil and he wants to make a bargain with you. "Sell me your soul. For what would you take for your soul? What price would you put on it?" If you could drive to one of the local convenience stores here and put down a dollar, $20, and know that you could walk out with several million dollars, would you sell your soul for that? Someone says, yeah, I'd do that. You know the vast majority of lottery winners go bankrupt within the first 5 years? Bankrupt. Do you know that the people whose lives have been touched by this, they smile when they hold that great big check up, but do you know that usually 2 or 3 years later that they're involved in divorce, alcohol, drugs, their lives are destroyed. Sin cannot be sanitized by the government or anyone else. I can't tell you that gambling is right. The government can't tell you gambling is right. God is the only source of right versus wrong. Let me be pretty clear here. Christians should be standing up against the devices of the devil. We ought to be more outspoken than we are sometimes. But we really ought to be outspoken to our children and let them know when it comes to matters of right or wrong, I'm not going to participate. I will tell you, I have embarrassed more than one person, not to be mean, but someone would say, will you buy a raffle ticket? I said, are you kidding me? No, I'm not going to buy a raffle ticket because I don't gamble. And people will generally look at you like you're crazy. A Christian should avoid every appearance of evil. There's many other things that we could discuss in this, but I think I perhaps have gotten the point across that gambling is a sin and Christians ought to stay away from it. If you'll open your songbooks now to the Song of Invitation. We don't want to conclude any service of the Lord's Church without offering the Lord's invitation for those who may not have yet become Christians or those who have and need to return back to the Lord to have an opportunity. This is your time and your opportunity to respond to the gospel invitation. If you believe in Jesus Christ, will repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him, and be baptized, the Lord will add you to His body, the church, and you can be saved.